And thank you for joining us on KVCR for KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming once again author Andrea Grant. Last week, we heard about some of your poetry and spoken word, as well as your short films, and touching on your newest book, Modern Natives, an illustrated collection of reimagined Coast Salish myths. We'll touch more on the book in just a bit, but first, I can't tell you, Andrea, how excited I was to see these graphic classics, they're called. These are exactly what I remember as classic comics or illustrated classics from when I was a kid, and these introduced me to, and then got me to read at an all-too-early age, Frankenstein, Dracula, The Invisible Man, The Time Machine, The Mysterious Island, you know, so many more, introducing me to the classic authors and their works at age 7, 8, 9 maybe. And there were some Indian versions of this when my wife was a child in, and I really mean Indian, when she was a child in India. And these covered some classic Hindu myths and legends. You talked about producing these types of things when you were a child. When did you start thinking about some of these classic works? Because, gosh, we're talking about Edgar Allan Poe, H.G. Wells, and some Native American classics. But let's start with Edgar Allan Poe, for example. There's a preview. You can see Morella. And I feel like I read this early on, but I think it's not really the most revisited of Poe's stories. But you have illustrated versions of these. How did these come about? What was the start of this? Had you decided to produce something like this, or the way your mind works, you'd kind of already done this in your head, and you just needed a vehicle for it to happen?
Well, it was really interesting, because after I had my own graphic novel, I'd released several individual comics, so I guess my work was somehow known by some people in the publishing industry. And I was approached by the publisher of the graphic classics, and he basically said, we'd love to have you reinterpret some stories for some different anthologies. He would assign me a story, and then he assigned an artist to illustrate it, but we never met. I never gave storyboard direction, really, a little bit maybe, because I was doing like the word bubbles and everything, you know, and having the characters talk to each other. But that was a huge privilege to have them approach me and say, hey, do you want to be in this? And do you want to do that? And Morella, for example, with Edgar Allan Poe, all I had to go by was the original story. And then I had to give it dialogue. And, you know, of course, in his stories, like he might have a couple of lines where he's definitely got descriptive text, and then he might have a couple of lines of dialogue. But I had to make a lot of it up for all of the stories. But that was a really fun challenge, you know, something a bit different, and not having to be in control of everything was nice.
So while Morella has not been adapted or used nearly anywhere as much, I think, as so much of Edgar Allan Poe's works, did you have a conscious decision? Were you actively trying to make sure to do something different than what was done before? Or were you really just trying to picture it and tell the story and free yourself from any other constraints like I just mentioned?
Both, if that makes sense. I, of course, read the story. It wasn't the story I was really familiar with, but it was really important to me to capture the voice he might have used if Poe was writing based on one of his stories in graphic novel format, or comic book format, I should say. Nailing that voice, of course, it takes research and it takes a little bit of experimentation, and it takes getting into that time period where the story is set. And it was a really short story, and there's not much to go on. I feel like it was like a prose poem almost.
Okay.
And that length, like a page and a half or 2 pages, it was really abbreviated. So I thought, what would she say? And how do you describe this character that is sort of ghostly and haunting and make it interesting? And then when it came back, the publisher was a good editor too, just if any of the stories needed a couple of tweaks, that was totally fine and great to have feedback. But it was really amazing to see these graphic novels with all of the stories and all of the artists from the anthology shipped to me. And then I'd flip through and find my story. Okay, good. It matches everything in its own way. But yeah, that was a huge honor. I don't know if they're continuing to do. I haven't checked, but they have so many anthologies from the past.
That's something that I would, again, find fascinating because it takes me not just as a bit of nostalgia to when I was a child, but I think it really is a great way to introduce people to bigger stories, deeper stories, something that one might not get until it was assigned to them in high school or college or something.
Yeah.
Of the ones that you did, you also had a part in some vampire classics, but I want to skip over to the Native American classics. These ones, you mentioned earlier with the Edgar Allan Poe that these stories were assigned to different people and the illustrations were assigned to different people. Was that the same with the Native American classics, or were they asking you to bring in a retelling of stories that you have been told once your father was discovering the legends, or these were a retelling of some myths and legends that have been told for thousands of years, if not tens of thousands of years?
Yeah, it was the same format, assign somebody a story and then have an artist. But yeah, it was the same format. But again, the hunter and medicine legends, it was maybe one page, the original story or the original legend that it was drawing from. So I had to use my imagination and figure out, like, what are some traditional aspects that I could put in here that would be interesting? How could I make it my own? And so I was given a lot of license there. There was no right or wrong. And I think that the publisher obviously knew I was half Native, so there was a lot of trust with that one. And then I think everything else came after that. I think Hunter and Medicine Legend was the first one that I did for graphic classes.
Some really cool stuff from around 2012 or so, though I just learned about it and will be hunting it down without a doubt. You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Andrea Grant. A little bit later in the program, we'll hear about her newest book, Modern Natives, an illustrated collection of reimagined Coast Salish myths. First, though, a bit more in the world of graphic novels. Talk about minx, please, which is addressed in Modern Natives. I think that this would be of particular interest to young women, though not exclusively such, but when a girl goes into a comic book shop, it's usually more buff guys than people that they can actually relate to themselves. If you would talk about minx, and minx is you.
Yeah, it's my alter ego.
Okay. It certainly looks like you in the comics.
She's my alter ego, not it. Basically, in Modern Natives, the story called Run Me with the Wolves. It's essentially an origin story that predates the graphic novel project that I did, which is called Dream War. And that's on my site, andreagrant.com. There's a shop and you can see some of the comics I've done and little animations and things. So basically it started with my idea of wanting to create a strong female superheroine of indigenous origin so I could use some of the traditional myths and bring them into her reality. But also because I was looking at all of the comics that I grew up reading and, you know, they're, I think for me, I read She-Hulk when I was a kid.
Yep.
And Archie comics, which are not that deep. But I always loved the DC imprint, and I loved X-Men, too.
So oh, certainly.
Yeah, and they used to have that cartoon, remember?
Oh, certainly. There were a few waves of comics and presentation of some of the Marvel and DC classics. I was very thankful when we started getting the movies. I think some of them were incredibly well done, especially the X-Men series of movies.
Yeah, I think that was one of the best.
Oh, yeah. The Minx series of books, was it a 4-issue limited run, or is it just that we're only now at number 4?
Basically, it's not that they're out of print. It's just that I started one story arc, and I did about 4 comics. I didn't print them into a complete graphic novel format. And then I decided to change my direction slightly and do a new 4-part series. Just, you know, I met a different artist that I thought would really bring a dynamic element to it, kind of a reboot. And then those 4 single issues ended up being the graphic novel called Dream War, which is everything all collected together, but then with introductions from different people and essays by certain people that had related to the mythology, you know, so bonus content kind of. So really, I was always fascinated by that saying that if you die in your dreams, you die in real life. It's like some urban legends. And you never really die if you think about it. Something catastrophic might be happening in a dream, but you always end up flying instead of falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
You never really die. And if you did, you'd probably just walk into a different scene of the dream, right?
So yes.
My idea was that there would be this girl leaving her tribe in the Pacific Northwest, maybe didn't get along with her family, and then she slips into a coma in the Dream War story. And then she ends up in this other world, which is called Dream Time, which is the alternate reality that humans inhabit when they sleep, which natives believe is as real as this actuality.
Hmm.
But with this transition comes responsibility and revelation, and she realizes she's been called to be a dream war, and she's battling villains who are trying to kill people in their sleep and attacking natives and the native people. And she's a bit of a vigilante. So she's part of a conspiracy, and then she's also part of an ancient prophecy. And she's a very complicated character. And I don't think an anti-hero, but just I think, what if any of us was called to this adventure that was greater than us? And we realized, okay, life will never be the same. And with the origin story in Modern Natives,
yes,
it starts out where she basically is called to, she starts seeing spirit wolves everywhere. So what I was talking about earlier, say you're walking around a city and you see posters and she starts seeing wolves everywhere. A wolf standing in front of a convenience store on a cab ride home. She's thinking, what is happening? She ends up with a pack of spirit wolves. Meanwhile, she's trying to be an artist. She doesn't really know her role in the dream world. She just knows she's having crazy dreams. And there's a character called the Empress who is like her instructor. So it's a multi-layered book series. And it was really fun to do an origin story and then write in narrative format.
Right.
And I love writing comics, and I love writing the actions and the dialogue bubbles that you see and giving everybody an identity, like both through narration and then through what the characters are saying to each other.
That's Andrea Grant speaking about her superhero alter ego Minx, who shows up in Grant's newest book, Modern Natives, an illustrated collection of reimagined Coast Salish myths. And Andrea, would you mind reading a bit of the introduction for us, please?
Yeah. So this is the introduction to Reimagine Coast Salish Myths. This book represents a collection of stories inspired by the old myths, but told in my own voice and through the lens of my own experiences. I have always been entranced by tales of mortals touched by the divine, not just in the stories of my own people, but also in countless myths and legends from around the world. I think this is because I've always felt the presence of spirits around me, whether I'm walking alone through a primeval forest on my beloved Vancouver Island where I grew up, or the busy, crowded streets of New York City where I lived for many years.
Just that portion of the introduction struck me as really the core of this introduction. Again, this is Modern Natives, an illustrated collection of reimagined Salish myths. Some of these chapters start off by talking about mythology or legend and lore. Other chapters, Rummy with Wolves is a good example of that. Also, Harvest Moon, Transformer Moon. Some of the chapters start off with a recollection of your experiences. I loved Harvest Moon, Transformer Moon for a number of reasons. This difference in the way you start off the chapters, is this really something calculated for delivery? Or really, is it more of you're thinking about this and this is just how it presents itself to you? Does it all start with you going through old journal entries or just countless hours of reflecting on memories? How did this come about for you?
Oh, I certainly do have a wealth of dusty journals hidden in the garage. Some of these stories are stories that I've held and worked on for a while and then reshaped. The story about Coyote, for example, that's the one that's written in third person.
Yes.
You know, and I thought it would just be a different point of view. But Harvest Moon is based on a story about this road trip that I went on with my parents and is a myth within a myth kind of story. I go through so many revisions. I can't even tell you. So some of the intros they're instinctual and natural and based on the memory or something that happened or a story I was just thinking about. But Harvest Moon is definitely a person story. And Coyote is obviously based on the trickster deity. But I'm not being too personal when I write. I'm bringing pieces of truth and pieces of memories and weaving them with myths that I've known for a long time, new myths from the archival material, from the elders that I've studied. I like to just change it up a little bit. Honestly, I don't like it to be the same kind of beginning. And I feel like it's really important with different characters that are being featured that they have their own voices. And that is something that takes a lot of crafting.
I think it's really cool that you have it this way because it makes it, again, something that we can find more relatable in one way or another. I was never a little girl that went on a trip with my parents to the Northwest. But I was a little boy and I went on plenty of road trips with my parents. There's a great moment in Harvest Moon, Transformer Moon. I guess I'm looking for creative license as far as changing something to give it one thing or another, maybe some humor perhaps. For example, your brother could have accompanied you and your parents on your trip, but I found it kind of funny to read how he, at the age of, I suppose, 15 by then, found that the four of you in the car together would be more than he could handle. And that's whether that's true or not, that makes us instantly remember something like that with ourselves or a person that we know. So I guess I'm looking at that kind of a thing, this creative license versus, no, they did play a lot of Fleetwood Mac or Stevie Nicks, Edge of 17, or that kind of thing. These are also from the same chapter.
Yeah. So we did this family trip twice. The first one, my brother went. That was a few years before. Apparently it was a horror and he never wanted to. And then there was a second trip and everyone's fighting over the radio was the thing. I don't know. It's not that they couldn't play a CD, but they would just turn on the radio and it was a contest of who was going to listen to what. And, you know, that's always, I think, how it is with whatever device you're using. There's always somebody who thinks their music is better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I wanted it to be a relatable family story where you've already left home and you're horrified in a way to go on a trip with your parents. Like, hey, are they going to treat me like I'm 14 or are they going to treat me like I'm an adult now? I suppose there's always a transformation aspect in my stories where there's a lot of observations of different characters. So one person has a distinct opinion of everybody else, and then maybe the other characters get to have a point of view, but there's usually like a main narrator.
It really sounded like a beautiful drive. I think the Pacific Northwest and then Idaho, Washington, but then coming back up along the coast, I could picture it, whether my experiences going from Wisconsin to Kentucky were different than yours from Vancouver down into the basin. It's, again, something that we could all picture, whether it was the music, being in the back while your parents are up front and this is your first exposure to NPR, whether you wanted it or not, that kind of a thing. And having, by the way, The Edge of 17 or the other Fleetwood Mac that I mentioned earlier, Thunder Only Happens When It's Raining, these references give a timeline, so that instantly takes us back to however old we were when these songs were out or being covered at some wedding that we were forced to go to or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
We were hearing these. And so it transports us to this place and therefore helps to transform into the story itself. Let's remind people again, it's simply andreagrant.com. It's laid out wonderfully as far as the various parts of you, a poet, and the short films or the introductions to other short films. There are photos from the pinup book. Wonderful, classic images throughout. And then, oh, yes, certainly. It's simply, again, andreagrant.com. Can they order Modern Natives, the book?
Yes, they can. The book is on Amazon and then on my publisher. But the easiest thing is they can either type in Modern Natives with an S on Amazon and find the book on Kindle or paperback. It's a nicely printed book. It's 8x10, so it's like a proper storybook. But they can also link to it through the shop and find some Nick's work there, too.
You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Andrea Grant. Between poetry, film work, graphic novels, and more, there's a lot to Andrea, though at this point we're primarily speaking about her latest book, Modern Natives, an illustrated collection of reimagined Coast Salish myths. More at andreagrant.com. An incredible cover here, and this is taken right from the Run Me With the Wolves section of the book. It's an illustrated version of you standing with four wolves, a stormy night in New York City in the background. Really, really cool. Did somebody present this to you, or were you like, no, okay, I want for the cover, me with the wolves, stormy water, you know, that kind of thing. Where did the idea for the cover art come from? Was that somebody else, or was that you're directing it?
My directing it. In the story itself, I have an illustrated version of that same image, but I wanted something that was sort of realistic.
Yeah.
And just a different look. And I've been playing around a little bit with the idea of animating some of these clips of stories. And so this was a mock-up given to me by a potential animator. So I've got a couple of things like on my Instagram where it comes to life and just the scene and the wolves move.
Cool.
Like that. Instagram, andreagrant.copious, C-O-P-I-O-U-S. But yeah, you can see on page 81 of the book, the illustrated version, and the wolf has supernatural green eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Character. Yeah, it's just a different rendition. I think for a cover, you need to come at it from a different point of view so it draws people in.
Absolutely.
It's even more lifelike.
The page 81 version, yes, this is very much the comic book version of it. The one on the front, it's almost a photograph of you, but people go, oh, is that the AI thing or is that the this? Or, you know, it's very much more realistic. And again, looks very much more like you than a character which is similar to you. Speaking of the animation, before I accidentally let go of this, I read that beyond this book, you have plans to eventually animate some of these stories. And we do have a bit of a preview on Run Me With the Wolves. And again, this is at andreagrant.com. Beyond that preview, has there been any movement on the animation so far? Or is that still just, you know, we're wanting to get this going?
I've been trying to find the right team and the right way of doing it because it used to be so complicated. Like, did you want 2D or 3D or what kind of animation do you want and what's going to look more? It's a lot of work, animation. But now it's 2 seconds. Sometimes if you're using the right program. So you're always going to need reference photos if you go that route and dress up in the costume and maybe make fake wolves or whatnot. Or I'm still exploring the options just because the technology has changed so much in the past couple of years when I started to try to animate a little clip. There's a little clip on the Minx tab on my website, andreagrant.com, and it's a very elementary type of animation style, like more line art, but it's just a little clip of her connecting to the wolves. So that's one style, but I think just where I see animation going and artists that I've collaborated with in the past are reaching out and saying, hey, I'm doing animation now. I went to school for that. And they're still doing more traditional like 2D or 3D animation. So it's just worth exploring like what's going to look the best and what's going to be true to the aesthetic. What I really wanted to do was create a multiverse.
Good.
So I won't be stuck along one path or stuck to one storyline. I want it to be able to continue that multimedia aspect. So a little animation might be, like you said, an imagination sequence or a vision coming through meditation.
I just love the possibilities of it. That's the kind of thing. I think a person could see this, and even though they see the version that's presented, the fact is this is, again, this blending of Native heritage, some Joseph Campbell being thrown in there as well, all sorts of things coming together, this confluence. This might be a nice way of closing this. Through your stories, films, poems, you're hoping that people can find a bit more of themselves. And you spoke of redemption in this. You're living proof that if you follow your own path, there is redemption. Just a really nice thought there, and it ties in. Maybe I'm assigning things to it because I read that, or maybe it just makes sense after I've read and seen all these things. I want to push again, AndreaGrant.com. How about social media? You alluded to Instagram a second ago, I think.
Yes, I have an Instagram. It's connected to my website.
Then your website, AndreaGrant.com, then also Instagram. Do you TikTok at all? Are you a TikToker?
No, I don't do TikTok yet. Maybe I'll wait till I have some animation or something, but I mostly use Instagram. I have Pinterest and I have X, but I don't use it. And then I have Facebook, but I, again, don't really love that medium. I prefer Instagram.
Okay, so again, if people just go to AndreaGrant.com, they can then springboard over to the Instagram through there. Excellent.
It's at the bottom of the page.
Okay. And the spoken word films that we spoke of earlier, they can be seen and experienced, I should say, on YouTube as well, or is it pretty much just through your website? I think they're YouTube clips.
A lot of my videos that I made are on my website, but there's more fun stuff on YouTube.
Oh, excellent.
But easier to just link that way than find the channel.
Everything that I've seen of yours so far, whether it's stuff that you've produced or stuff of you, be it still photos or video form, it's been through your website. So I'm happy to know that there's more out there that I can explore and just find out more about you and your work. Andrea, I greatly appreciated and loved getting ready for this. This was a treat for me, and I look forward to the next one.
Likewise, me too. Thank you. I'm glad it worked out and meant to be.
For this edition of KVC Arts, it's been conversation once again with Andrea Grant, speaking primarily about her latest book, Modern Natives, an illustrated collection of reimagined Coast Salish myths, though we heard about some of her graphic novel work as well. So much more at AndreaGrant.com. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Andrea Grant, and for getting this whole thing going, thanks to Brianna Walther. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, Tony Lopez, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and more still at kvcr.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. And of course, with that in mind, a reminder that you can give to KVCR any time of the year, day or night. Whether you're setting up a one-time gift or a sustaining membership, it takes approaching 3 minutes of your time. It's a quick and easy process at kvcr.org/support. And thanks again.